opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio.
About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Baugh. Linda's on sabbatical. It's Tuesday, 7:06 in the morning here on the 23rd of February, 2016. Quickly running to the end of February, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning there, Bad Bob.
And good morning, Carl.
What's it look like today as far as weather goes?
Sunny and clouds mixed, high of 71 degrees. That's going to be our norm for the next several days. However, on Friday, we do have a chance of rain coming in. Rain right now at about 60%. It won't be a significant amount. Then dry over the weekend. As we go into next week, we're expecting more rain to show up about the 2nd of March. And that pattern will continue through the rest of the month. Right now, 47 degrees in Redding, and the lake is at just about 993 feet above sea level. That would put us at about 74 feet from the top.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bob. Hey, the weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, family-owned business right here where their customers are warm friends. Give them a call at 365-3793. Discounts for seniors and veterans there. Won awards for their actions in hiring veterans. So, good morning, everybody, and we're starting our day off fast. We're hitting the ground running. We got Kurt Starman here, our city manager, correct, and general man behind the scenes of everything. So, good morning, Kurt.
Morning, Carl. How you doing?
Thanks for coming in early today and responding to when I called you last week about the big thing that's going on in Oasis.
With my pleasure.
Costco, because I mean there is so much consternation up in the air and about what's caused this, where are we going to lose Costco. I mean, that's millions of dollars in our tax base, and this thing's been going on since what, the 80s, 90s?
You know, the sort of the patriarch of the family, so it's the Levinson family, I guess, that owns the property is a way to describe it. And so Donald Levinson is the principal today, but yes, his father, Norman Levinson, actually was contemplating a mall at that location going back as far as the 1980s. So there's been different ideas for that property for many years.
Well, can you walk us through what's happened with the city? And I mean, when this thing first started was when?
Probably the best place to start the story, we can go back farther in time if that's helpful for you or your listeners.
But I think everybody will, because a lot of people are just, you know.
Yeah, so I think,
all they're getting is the last, you know, 5 minutes of.
So let me take just a couple minutes or a little bit longer, maybe to frame the topic, and we'll kind of go from there. So if we can go back farther in time. But if I think that, you know, probably the best place to pick up the story is, because it's been an on-again, off-again topic for so many years, but really all three parties, meaning Donald Levinson, Costco, and the city of Reading, started working, you know, in earnest once again in 2013 to make Costco a reality. And so what happened in 2013 is all three parties got together, and what came from that was, you know, a definitive plan to make Costco happen at Oasis Road near the Interstate 5 interchange, and that resulted in two agreements. The first agreement is really a real estate transaction, a purchase and sell agreement between Don Levinson and Costco, and that essentially was, you know, selling about 15 acres for the Costco store. And then the second agreement, actually pretty unusual for Costco, the second agreement was between the city of Reading and Costco, and that really dealt with the design and construction of the what we call off-site improvements. So primarily the roads in that area, widening roads, realigning roads, et cetera. That's pretty rare for Costco to play that role. That's usually the developer's role, is to develop off-site improvements. But Costco basically said, this is an important project for us, and we're we're really willing to both take the lead and finance those improvements. And so,
so Costco is going to pay for widening the road and making everything that to make it all work
with some reimbursement later. So I'll tell you. Okay. Let me just
elaborate. I'm just trying to get my notes.
Okay. Understood.
Right.
So those are the agreements that were negotiated in 2013. So we all three parties headed out, and really, you know, the city's not privy to the contract or the negotiations between Costco and Mr. Levinson. That's private party to private party, and obviously with regard to the contract between the city and Costco, that's worked very well, and that relationship is still strong today. So the city and Costco mutually selected an engineering firm to design the off-site improvements. We were really about 60% design in early 2015 when Costco essentially contacted the city and said, you know, we've been out of contract. So the contract between Mr. Levinson and Costco expired in 2014, and they were working to renew that agreement or enter into a new agreement. And by spring of 2015, you know, Costco was pretty frustrated. They had not been able to achieve that. They didn't have control of the site, and so they directed the city to stop work on the infrastructure until they had site control. And that was going on all through 2015. And toward the end of 2015, thought we saw a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, where Costco contacted the city again in November of 2015 and said, you know, we think we now have an oral understanding with Mr. Levinson on how to proceed with the property transaction, so we're going to start reassembling our team to go make this happen. You need to do the same. And, of course, we did. But that was kind of short-lived by Costco has some very tight timelines for Mr. Levinson. They wanted to have a signed, executed agreement in place by December, and they wanted Mr. Levinson to achieve or to accomplish all of his requirements by February 1st. So regrettably, those dates came and passed, and Mr. Levinson and Costco, for whatever reason, you know, were not able to achieve that. And so both the December date came and went, and then ultimately the February 1st date came and went. And so Costco has, you know, again contacted the city to say, we don't have an agreement with the property owner. We don't have site control. So, you know, we can't proceed with the design of this infrastructure, and we're going to start looking at other options once again. I think there's just a lot of frustration on the part of Costco that they don't have site control. So that's kind of where it stands today. You know, the city's been we've had a great working relationship with Costco. It's been a good partnership, and all that's worked fine. So Costco continues to work with the city of Reading on, you know, alternate locations.
Well, there's just, you know, questions, of course, are rolling in from the chat room here. Is the city of Reading, in the paper it said that the city of Reading had not finished that 2015 design, had never delivered it.
Yeah, if you read the letter, the letter explicitly says, you know, in several spots that basically the gist of that particular letter you're referring to, or your commenter, is a letter that terminated what's called a credit and reimbursement agreement with Costco.
Mm-hmm.
And so that agreement basically states in multiple places, we've not been able to consummate our purchase and sale agreement with Mr. Levinson, therefore we're terminating our credit and reimbursement agreement. There's in that agreement there are different off ramps, so to speak, for Costco, one of which is that, you know, if we haven't got to a certain point in design, that's one of the off ramps that would allow Costco to cancel the contract. So they cite that as one of the reasons for terminating the contract, but the reality is that's just because that's one of the provisions in the contract. The reality is Costco directed the city to stop that work in 2015. It was, you know, Costco's request to stop work on that issue because they didn't have site control.
So Costco would ask you all to just say, hey, stop working on it because
we
don't know. Now, this is really a big there's a big chance that Costco could move. Or is there something else going on that we as taxpayers? Because what we see is that it looks like it's a I'm not going to use the word it looks like, but it looks like a contest between the developer and the city butting heads. You've got Walt McNeil, an attorney for Levinson, saying we're at the 5-yard line, and he's throwing it into your lap. I know you released a letter on that one too. But
yeah, so let me talk about that issue. So, you know, again,
he says we're so close.
And, yeah, it's regrettable. Quite frankly, let me preface my comments by saying I still think, and I think Costco would agree with this, that the Oasis site is by far the preferred site and the best site because, you know, we've already gone through the environmental clearance. We already have the entitlements in place, meaning the conditional use permit. Really, they're at a building permit stage. And so, you know, it's regrettable that Mr. Levinson hasn't been able or willing to consummate a purchase and sale agreement, because I do agree that we're very close and it could be accomplished pretty quickly. To kind of go back, though, to kind of answer the core question that you posed, I mentioned in 2013 there were two fundamental agreements, one between Costco and Mr. Levinson that would basically just sell the property that was needed. And then the second agreement between the city and Costco related to the design and the construction of the offsite improvements. There was no discussion in 2013 or 14 or most of 2015 about the need for what Mr. Levinson and Mr. McNeil referred to as a development agreement. So what happened is Costco, you know, at the end of 2015 said, hey, I think we have an oral understanding. Let's start to reassemble the troops. And then shortly after that, Mr. Levinson approached the city and said, I can't enter into an agreement with Costco unless you, City of Reading, enter into an agreement with me called a development agreement for all the remainder of my property. You know, it doesn't pertain to Costco. It's all the remaining property that he owns in the Oasis Road area. And that agreement contained some pretty expensive items for the City of Reading taxpayers, something, you know, well in excess of $30 million.
What were some of the things that was in that agreement?
Well, I'll give you a couple, just off the top of my head that I recall. But, you know, one, for example, was the city would have to commit to issuing a municipal bond that would be $8 million that would be secured by future sales tax that might be generated by Costco and other retailers that might go into that area. But, of course, there's no assurance that those projects come to fruition or that that money ever gets generated. So the risk associated with that would be to issue a bond of that nature. The risk is to the taxpayer. The other is that Mr. Levinson wanted essentially the city to contribute between two different funding sources, $24 million that the City of Reading doesn't have in its coffers to apply to infrastructure as well. Another example is there was litigation between Mr. Levinson and other engineering firms that ultimately the city was brought into later dealing with the design of it's called the Project Study Report for the Oasis Road Interchange. That issue was mediated, and there was a settlement agreement, a couple years ago. This agreement that Mr. Levinson brought late in 2015 wanted to bring back that issue once again, and he was looking to, basically set aside the previous settlement and go back to his original positions where he thought he was entitled to about $1.5 million, which the city's never concurred with. There are just a lot of topics in there that just, don't make sense for the City of Reading and our taxpayers. But the real problem is all this happens at the 11th hour. So we've been working on this from 2013, 14, most of 15, and it comes up. Costco wanted an agreement, signed agreement with Mr. Levinson by mid-December, and we're hearing about this for the first time, like on December 2nd.
Oh, we have a mess here, huh?
I still am hopeful that, Mr. Levinson and Costco can come back to the table. I think that is a possibility. But certainly, our commitment is to Costco to help them succeed, to prosper, to grow in Reading. Costco is an important corporate citizen for Reading, so we are working with them actively. I think that probably speaks volumes to that relationship. Costco is still working directly with Reading on looking at, what Plan B might look like. So, we'll continue to work with Costco
What would Plan B look like?
An alternate site, essentially.
Here in town? Or yeah. somewhere around this area?
So, obviously that's Costco's decision in terms of where they want to locate. If the Oasis site doesn't work, I think that's regrettable for the reasons we talked about. I think it is has a lot of advantages. But if that site's not going to work, our goal is to see Costco prosper and stay in Reading, and so we're working with Costco directly on that as we speak.
Anderson's really pushing hard.
Yeah, which I don't blame. If I'm
counterpart
Jeff Kaiser in the city of Anderson, that's his role as the city manager for Anderson and for his council members. My general sense is this. So I would say never say never, but I think as a general rule, Costco would strongly prefer to be in Reading. Just all retailers want to be by the population base. For retailers, kind of the name of the game is rooftops. How many rooftops are within, so many miles of your store? Costco's a little bit of an exception in that it's a destination store, so people will travel to some extent to get to Costco, even if it's off the beaten path. But there's a limit to that as well. So, I'm not saying Anderson is not a viable location, but I would say my strong sense is Costco strongly prefers Reading because that's where the population base is.
It makes sense. However, putting it north like that is kind of always strange because there's nothing beyond it. I mean, I always thought that. But then again, I'm not a commercial developer. But then again, this hasn't been built yet. So I've had somebody in here that works in real estate say, they've been in commercial deals before and they're all squirrely. So I'm not going to say that. Okay, so what's your bottom line then, Kurt, is that, hey, we've got a good relationship with Costco. The city does.
We do.
We're doing everything that we can. Costco's not unhappy with the city. And now it's just between Levinson and Costco.
Well, I think two things. I think I agree with everything you said. And I'd add to that last sentence. So, I think if Mr. Levinson and Costco can still come back to the table and reach an agreement on selling the property, that'd be fantastic. If not, the city of Reading, we're working with Costco directly on alternative sites.
Is there a way to help if Levinson doesn't have the money? Because this means a lot of money and jobs and everything, tax dollars to Reading. Is the city of Reading, do you think, would it be, like the $8 million, he wants an $8 million advance in tax revenue. Is that correct?
That's one of several things he's asked for. Yeah, but in total, it's well over $30 million, correct? Right. Yeah, I think I would answer the question this way, and we have always said this, and it's part of when we developed the specific plan. It's a planning document for the Oasis Road area, is that we recognize that this needs to be public and private participation to make this area work. So the city's amenable to reasonable proposals that make sense and protect the taxpayer. But right now we're just in a very odd spot where the proposal Mr. Levinson advanced was very late at the 11th hour, included some egregious items that just don't make sense for Reading taxpayers.
This is a question I had no idea, but is the city planning on building a sewer out to Knighton Road?
Knighton Road is the I-5 Knighton Road interchange is in the unincorporated county, and it is not within the city of Reading's sphere of influence. That's another planning term for where we think growth will occur or incorporation will occur.
Okay. Right.
So right now there are no there's a limitation for that site, by the way. There are no what it's called wet utilities, meaning water or sewer service to that site. So that's certainly an impediment to large development at that area.
That was a good question. Let me ask. Let's switch over. I just skipped over commercials. I want to keep you here because I know that we've got to run and other things we have. Bethel Church is meeting today in the city council chambers at 4 p.m. to talk about expanding out to 139.8 acres.
Yes.
Down there off of 44. They're talking putting in a parking lot for 1,800 people, 2,600 students. I'm sorry, 2,600 parishioners and over 3,000 students down there. That's a huge development.
It's a large project. So let me first clarify the location. So actually, it's off of 299.
299. I'm sorry, not 44.
Sort of, not quite. But if you're leaving Reading and going out east towards Shasta College, it's out in that general direction to the north of Highway 299.
I get 44 and 299 mixed up all the time.
So it is.
Mayonnaise. Sometimes I say mayonnaise. Which way are you going? Mayonnaise. Calm over. All right.
So okay. And then the meeting today, just again.
Yeah, we just probably got a bunch of people out there. What? I'm sorry, everybody. I was just wrong road. Okay.
So the meeting today, we're in a very, the folks at Bethel have been working on this concept for quite some time and done a lot of work up to this point in time. We're now going into the environmental review, the formal environmental review phase. So the meeting today is kind of one of the initial steps in that process. So this is with the Planning Commission today to talk about the project, and we'll talk about the California Environmental Quality Act and what needs to be studied under CEQA. So that's what's occurring now. There'll be a lot of work that will need to occur during that process, and lots of opportunity for public input on things like traffic or noise and things of that nature. So there's lots of opportunity for input. Ultimately, my hope is that Bethel is successful. That's not our purpose for talking about this. I'm going to put aside the kind of the religious aspect of that conversation just for a moment, put that off to the side just for a second. But, Bethel's been a wonderful addition to the city in the sense that they brought some quality people to the community. They have been growing leaps and bounds, and really from an economic... Save the Civic. They've done a wonderful job. Advanced Reading, which is affiliated with Bethel, has done a wonderful job of running the Civic Auditorium. We don't have the details in terms of number of employees and payroll and so forth, but I think it's very fair to say that Bethel has had a huge economic impact on the area.
One of the major contributors for that. Let's bring another airline in here.
Yes, they were. They were a huge partner with us courting SkyWest and other airlines, Pan Air and so forth. So
let me change the subject real quick for that then. How's that looking? Are we going to get I know we've got another flight coming in.
Right.
But what's it look like for another airline?
Yeah, actually, very positive. In fact, I think next week when the city council meets, we'll be talking about Penn Air, which is proposing service from Reading to Portland. And so we actually have an agreement that will be ready for the council's consideration next week that would essentially provide space within the municipal airport terminal and a partnership with them to promote that service to Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, I read that, but who goes to Portland?
actually, you know, we had service to Portland at, not that long ago, and actually it was a pretty popular line. Then the other, so the three areas in air service, so that'll be new service from Reading to Portland. That's anticipated to start in mid or late April. We just added SkyWest, operating as United Express, just recently added the third flight to San Francisco. And we're still very optimistic, not quite ready to make an announcement, but I'm very optimistic by the end of the year that we'll be able to announce new air service to LAX.
Wow. That would be one of the game changers.
Yeah, that would be.
You know, I'm glad I've got you here because I'm just going to keep asking you rapid fire questions.
All right, let's do it. You and I, mano a mano.
Mano a mano.
Let's do it.
High speed internet. Fiber optic cable. It's going to cost. We've got one of the city council candidates, Adam McElveen, saying we can do it. $2.5 to $3 million. Is this something the city should just really buy into?
Yeah, I don't know about the $2.5 to $3 million piece. Let me tell you, and I don't claim to be a subject expert there. I'll start by saying I think Reading is fortunate compared to most parts of far northern California in that we have very good service today from Charter for most small business and kind of family customers. So, you know, Charter actually provides a very good service for our area, and just, you know, go a mile or two outside the corporate city limits, and that's not the case. So, first of all, I want to applaud Charter for serving our community well. So I think for most small business, I'm going to make up a number for 98%, you know, of our small businesses and our.
You can't just make up a number. The city manager. You're the city manager. You say for a large number. Okay.
Studies have shown.
98% of all 98%. Statistics are made up right then. Okay. But let me say I'm this. Going into that high.
I'm going to get to your question. So I think, you know, first I'd say for most in terms of small businesses and, you know, for individual families, you know, Charter does a good job. There definitely is a segment, you know, in our business community in particular today, and it's relatively small compared to the whole, but there's definitely a need for, you know, additional high-speed internet service, and I think it's also fair to say if we had additional high-speed internet service, we'd be able to attract others that would make use of that.
That's what I'm talking about. If we go in that fiber optic cable, we get those tech companies up here. Yeah.
So this is my general premise, and this is going to sound kind of odd from a government guy, but my first premise always, I'm an economics kind of guy. That's my academic background. I always think first is, you know, if it makes sense, you know, the private sector should take a look at that. So if the private sector can make a buck and it pencils, then I think that's the first place to look. If that's not the case and the private sector, like a Charter or some other service provider, can't make that work and it's an important topic for the community, I think that's the community's prerogative to say that we as a community want to look at that topic even if it doesn't pencil for a private firm.
Sure.
But I think the key thing is you need to do the analysis to see, you know, it kind of sounds good in concept. How many users would there actually be? How could you monetize that? And would there be a sufficient revenue stream to actually, you know, pay for the investment? So I'm open to the concept. I think my first choice is let the private sector step forward. That's what capitalism's all about. If that doesn't work, or if the community says, you know, we want to advance this ball, I think that's fair as well. But then we need to be real thoughtful about, you know, what is the cost to enter that business? What does that business look like 5 years from now or 10 years from now or 20 years from now? And then, you know, is there sufficient revenue to actually make that work for the community without subsidizing it with other funding sources?
Okay, I bet you didn't know Kurt Sturman could talk this fast, but now we're going to ask the next question.
Go, shoot.
Looks like a lot of places are starting to build downtown. We're just talking about a guy coming here wanting to a development corporation, wanting to a local guy, taking the old police station, obviously not realizing there is no sewers there, and at least like a sieve. And wants to redo the what, Kurt? What? Okay, wants to redo that whole area.
Yeah,
down
that's
there.
A fantastic project.
And we're talking about, you know, I mean, is the center of the city starting to revitalize? And what can the city itself do to help that?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
And I'm not talking about money, but I'm talking about helping and permitting and all this other stuff.
Right. So I think that's a fair assessment. First of all, I think, you know, lots of good things happening downtown. That's been an area of emphasis for, you know, the city as an entity, but for the community for many years. And so lots of good stuff. In fact, I'd say even during, you know, the depth of the recession, we were seeing some bright spots in downtown, which is really encouraging. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, a couple of projects you just mentioned. Well, one is that the company you're referring to is Building Adventures, Inc.,
right.
And the principal, his name is Jamie Lynn. He's purchased at least 5 older buildings in downtown, has renovated them and done a fantastic job.
It's not his first rodeo.
It's not his first rodeo. Really expert at what he does and, you know, has the financial backing and so forth. He has a great concept for the old police facility, and it devils in
looks
the
great. Looks great.
Yeah. So the devil's in the detail because the building is, you know, it's very aged, has lots of structural issues and systems issues, plumbing, roofing, HVAC, et cetera. But his concept is fantastic. He basically envisions, you know, using the current police facility to renovate that as a restaurant. And what he has in mind, I don't think it would be this particular brand, but many of us have eaten at, like, Old Spaghetti Factory.
Yeah, the Spaghetti Factory. Right? Great place.
So he has that type of a concept. It wouldn't be that brand, per se, but that's the kind of concept. And then adjacent to the current building, where the parking compound used to be located, he would have new construction, two-story construction, that would have five residential units on the second floor and then a mix of commercial and retail uses on the first floor. So a great project.
Well, people need to know is right here in Sheridan Square where we're at, and then next to us, of course, is Brent Weaver's thing.
Yes.
We have businesses on the bottom and some businesses up on top, but a lot of people living up above.
Yeah,
here.
It's been
so
very
that's
successful.
Concept. Yeah, it's good.
The other project that I want to mention, and we'll go back to your other question about what the city can do, you know, directly to assist. The other project that it's incredibly complex and there's lots of you know, sort of unknowns and uncertainties attached to it, but the city council is going to be talking about this next week as well, is that K2 Development has a plan to essentially demolish the former Dickers department store and reconstruct at that site a four-story...
Is that Skate World now, or not Skate World, but the...
You know, it's vacant right now, essentially, but it's you know, the old Dickers building that's right adjacent to the new white building that just recently... The old Greyhound station.
Right.
So, you know, it's a huge piece of property right in the smack dab of the middle of downtown. The plan contemplates demolishing that structure, including the parking structure that's below level, reconstructing that as a four-story building with mixed-use residential on the second, third, and fourth floor. Again, a mix of office and retail on the first floor.
A fourth floor,
other than the jail. And then the other piece of that is, which is, you know, makes it a more complex project, quite frankly, but is reopening some of the streets to that area as well through what we used to call the downtown mall, now the promenade, would be to reopen Butte Street and Yuba Street back through that area so that you have through traffic. And also, in a limited way, Market Street, one way, that would connect to the project as well.
So straight through right here.
Correct. So you don't have to make that turn right there at Tehama any longer.
It's not really building down here like everybody thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand that. Okay. My guest is Kurt Starman. Somebody says, I am glued to the radio. This is great. Okay. It's 8:32, and we're going to take a quick... I'm sorry, 7:32. We've been here an hour and a half. 7:32, and we're going to take a quick break. I may have to turn Kurt loose here, but we'll find out right after this message.
A pretty girl can make young men look foolish. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. We had just repaired Julia's car, and she said, I don't know anything about cars. Could a friend inspect it for me? About that time, three young men arrived. Of course, their individual goal was to impress her by finding something wrong with the repair. The first guy said, there is a blemish in the fender. This is not acceptable. Yes, I see, I said. The second said, the quarter panel is wavy. This also is not acceptable. Yes, I agreed. The third scolded me. If you look closely, you will see this door is perfect. This door should be the standard for the entire vehicle. I agreed, and they were surprised. We walked back to the waiting room. Julia smiled at us. I said, well, we looked it all over, and we all agreed. The door we repaired is perfect. Right, guys? Yes, someone replied. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Bob. And, of course, it's Tuesday. It's on sabbatical. It is 7:35 in the morning here on the 23rd of February. 47 degrees going up to 72 today. Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show is brought to you by Properties by Merit and Cody Titus. Cody is an expert in her field of real estate and loves representing buyers and sellers, whether it's their first home or their 50th home. It makes no difference because she can find the right home or investment property for you. Give her a call at 209-0721. Cody Titus at Properties by Merit. Okay, now, Kurt ran, and I want him in here for like 30 or 40 minutes without a commercial so we can just ask him questions. And people in here are just, people are just on fire in the chat room. They can't be just, it's funny that it just can't be the developer's fault. Well, you know what? I don't know. Now, we'll get Walt McNeil in here, who's from the developer, and I'm sure we're going to hear a different story. But it's good to hear the story from it and seeing how long it's been on and then to hear about what's going on downtown, how, everybody's kind of like building in here in downtown, again, making a new place to start. But the big things I hear here is that Mike Warren, it's all Mike Warren's fault. It's kind of like Bush. It's President Bush's fault. And it's President Bush's fault that everything's going on. And then now it's still Mike Warren's fault that it's but speaking of which, oh, wait a minute, we have something new. We have what?
Henry.
Henry, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, buddy. How are you?
Oh, plugging along. Say, I was a little late getting in, but the comment I wanted to make is the city of Redding and the county of Shasta have been anti-development for 40 years that I know of. They want their money up front for everything, and in many cases, the off-site improvements that they demand will kill a deal. And I think this is what's happening to Costco.
Well, that could be. And the thing is I know that there's other, I've heard from another person that's got another big project going, is that they wanted some real off-site developments there, like build a road. But he fought it, and they took that away. So, I'm sure it's not, I cannot say to a person,
that
you're saying is untrue. I mean, I can say that if I know that for sure, but I'm not. I can't help but think there's somewhere along the line where there's enough blame to go around on from Costco, Levinson, and the city. They could have worked a little bit harder on this, but I don't think it's dead yet. So let's see.
Well, it isn't only Costco; it's everything. If you start, I wouldn't even attempt a subdivision in this county or town. Fact is, I wouldn't in the state of California even. But give you, for instance, I was in the process of doing a subdivision in another state here a year or two ago.
Uh-huh.
And when I did my due diligence, the offsite killed me. I walked away from it. And the county would not help me out on the thing. Therefore, they lost a piece of ground, or the tax basis for a piece of ground that was bringing in practically nothing, for over 200 houses that would be there forever with the tax base. They don't seem to understand that in the long run they're going to make money if they help a little bit.
Well, frankly, I'm not against the tax advance on a Costco. I mean, if it was,
like
fly by night store, yeah, maybe. But Costco is going to get you. I mean, that money's going to come back anyway. Okay,
well,
Henry.
If Costco goes in, you're going to get. They'll be the anchor in that area.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be other businesses moving around them.
I think that was the idea. Plus, I think he wanted to build a bunch of houses, too. Anyway, okay. Yeah. Thanks, Henry.
You bet. Bye.
All right. Now, we can kind of get back into the, I love starting the mornings off like that.
Well, you're just standing there with your can of gasoline just pitching away.
That's okay. We got the fire lady in here now, Christy Kidd from Turtle Bay.
Great.
Hey, how you doing?
No
there?
Pressure.
No pressure. Now, everybody was really excited on the last one. You know, so when you start talking, if I just watch them start clicking off the net, you know, that's on you, babe.
No pressure.
No pressure. Okay, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm just fired up.
Lovely.
You know what? My day starts early. Yeah. And Linda's following me around the house, making sure that, you know, if she says, go on, you can do this. I'm, hon, you're not even coming to work today. She goes, I know, but I've got all this stuff to do. I understand that. So she gets me, you know, here, wear this, wear that.
We just got a puppy, so that's what my puppy does now.
Is what?
Get up, get ready, go. I need to get up. I need to do things. And I'm like, oh. I need to do things.
Oh, your dog?
But no,
oh,
yep, we just got a new puppy.
Oh. What kind?
He's a Cocker Spaniel mix. We rescued him. We don't know what he's mixed with. He may be huge. We have no idea.
Do you think the father came from a good family?
We don't know. We hope so. We met the mom. She was sweet. But I don't know about the dad.
That's what. I'm just kidding. Come on. I'm sorry. All right.
Anyway.
Okay, let's talk about what you're here for, and that's
Turtle Bay. Not my puppy.
Not your puppy. Though it occasionally licks your face.
Yeah, a lot. Not occasionally. No, we have 4 exhibitions open right now, which is madness
great.
And wonderful.
Oh, I bet it is.
Yeah, it's great. They kind of opened over a week and a half, and now they're all open and all just great and all wildly different, which is fabulous. We've got Water's Extreme Journey, which is a maze. You walk through it, and you start essentially as a raindrop, and then you go through the life cycle of the raindrop. It basically is everything water goes through from the sky to the tap in your house. And you can get lost in it. I'm not going to say I know that because I did it, but you can get lost in this maze. Although there are ways to get back out. It's kind of you spin a pinwheel thing and it decides your fate and tells you where you're going next. So, you know, if something good happened in the environment, it's a positive change. Or if it's something bad, you go the opposite way. And it's just, it's a lot of fun. And there's a zip line and all kinds of interactive things. And also, yeah, a zip line inside. It's fun.
Yeah, you have an inside.
Yeah, I mean, it's not huge, obviously, but it's inside the maze, inside the museum. And it's a good one. It's fun. It's what I liked about it was that they, Minotaur Mazes, who made this maze in this exhibition, they, every new place it goes, they make panels specific to the place it's in. So there are panels that are specifically about the city of Reading and about, you know, Shasta Lake and Whiskeytown and all the water that we have around us. So it's not just this vague concept. It's actually locally involved, which is pretty interesting, I thought. So you're giving me a look like you don't understand.
No, I understand. It's water.
Okay. It's water.
No, it sounds like a great thing. Is this, and this is for all ages?
This is for all ages.
Okay.
It's probably, out of all the exhibitions we have right now, it's the loudest one when you're in there because there's so much to do in it. I mean, one of our other ones is interactive as well, but this one, people get on the zip line and they start screaming. So it's more fun.
There's
it's very high
inside?
Energy. Inside. No joke. It's not huge. You just hang on to the thing. Yeah. The handle's at the top and then swing. And so it's meant for kids, but the weight limit on it means that not just kids have to do it.
Oh, they got everybody on there.
You
huh?
just have to lift your legs up and you're fine.
So you've obviously done it.
Obviously, yes.
Obviously.
Come
you're,
on.
You're, of course,
you're, yeah,
you're
of course
the,
I have.
One of the biggest kids there.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, so that's one.
So that's
the
one.
Water. The water exhibit. What's
yes.
the other one?
Then we've got Peanuts Naturally, which is all about the Peanuts comic strip and about how Charles M. Schulz drew the Peanuts characters into the natural world. So it's... Yes, of course, there's the great nostalgia and everything with the comics and the Peanuts gang and Snoopy and all that fun stuff, but it also is specifically about how they interact with the world. So, you know, it's also the Peanuts, so it's not necessarily correct. For example, there's one comic strip that Charles M. Schulz drew where Snoopy is trying to plant French fries in the garden, thinking it's going to grow something. So
That doesn't work?
I don't know. You have to go look at the comic strip and see how it turns out.
I tell you what, is that Americana Peanuts? I mean, yeah. I can't think of one strip you had that was, I mean, political.
Right, right.
You know, and it was mm-hmm. just something that just made people feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then you have Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
The loser, but he's also the winner.
But he's so lovable.
He's a lovable, but he wins. You know,
yep,
like,
yep.
And Lucy,
yep.
the typical 12-year-old or 10-year-old girl that's here, I'll hold the ball, Charlie Brown. No, I won't move it, Charlie Brown. I won't move it. I won't move
Every
it. No, you can trust me.
Yep.
Boom. Rats. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, Charlie Brown, you know me.
Yeah. Come on. You should know better by now.
You should know better by now.
So it's just so great because there's so much of that in there. And there are some interactives in it as well, but a lot of it, there's just panels of the comic strips up on the walls. You can just read them.
Right?
It's lovely.
I went to an exhibition in Washington, D.C. one time of Rockwell's paintings.
Ooh.
And they were just all over the walls. All of his, a lot of his originals and, you know, out of this collection this gentleman had.
Right.
And his family had. And, but it was just, you know, when you get into that and you look at just the brilliance, you know, it wasn't like those were drawn drawn in such a way that, I mean, they're, you know, the nuances and all that, like you get out of the Disney's early stuff.
Right.
But they were so brilliant in the simplicity of it and appealing to people, you know, of all ages and all ethnic and everything. Mm-hmm, everybody just liked what was being said.
Yeah, and what I like
can't wait to see that.
Yeah, what I like about this sort of thing, too, is kind of like what you were talking about, the Rockwell one. It's one thing to read this comic strip each week and just see the one, but to see so many just side by side and be able to read so many of them and everything, it's just, it's very fun. It's very cool. And there's a little Snoopy doghouse you can take a picture with, which is pretty fun. So,
a little Snoopy doghouse.
Slight side note, speaking of that, it's not an exhibition, but something new at Turtle Bay that has to do with Snoopy, is we just got our first little free library. So, you know, those people will have those houses or whatever right outside their curb or stores. I think Enjoy the Store has one right outside that you take a book, give a book sort of thing. And it's just a little box and you can take a book out and borrow it, read it, and either return it or you put in another book for somebody else. And it's a nationwide thing. And we just got our first one and it's in the gardens and we painted ours to look like Snoopy's doghouse. So there's that. So you should come out to the gardens and borrow a book.
Okay. I'm here with Christy Kitt from Turtle Bay. And unfortunately, Christy is just, you know, she's not really exuberant today.
No.
No, it's just, I mean, no, not at all. No, she's not smiling like
never.
She, never. Okay. Yeah. Really low key. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show, though, is brought to you by Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. I tell you what, Jeff Wurst and his business, it's a veteran-owned business, my friends. Whether it's a little bitty chip to a crack over 24 inches in length can fix it and then guarantee his work, it'll never come back. Yeah. How many people can do that? Anyway, he can, and he's located at 3208 Market Street. Give him a call at 241-8373. He fixed a crack in my windshield. It was about 12 inches long 8 years ago, and it's still holding, and you can't see it. So, Jeff Wurst, Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. We'll be right back.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at megastarfinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. The Ethanol Free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the questions you may have, even if you have already chosen another chapel service. That's just the kind of people we are, always there for you. Allen and Dahl with three locations to serve you, Redding, Anderson, and Palisadro. For more information or questions, call 547-4444. That's 547-4444. Allen and Dahl. Family helping family.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Yes, I am, and I can't help but love you so.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. This is Tuesday. It's 10 minutes until 8 o'clock here. 605-456-600 is our phone number. It's 47 going up to 72 today. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And Alliance Heated and Air is bringing you this portion of the show with over 20 years in the business and voted best in the North State. You can't get any better than that. And these guys are great. It's a veteran-owned business, which makes it even better. And if you've got an emergency, they're going to fix it, whether it takes 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They are there in on your side, in your corner. Alliance Heated and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642. Or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Alliance Heated and Air. Great people. Here with Christy Kidd, speaking with great people.
Oh,
who
thanks.
Is? Oh, you are, Christy. You know, from Turtle Bay. All right, now we talked about peanuts and we mm-hmm. talked about the water.
Water, yeah.
Now, what, you've got a couple more. Yeah.
Yes. These ones are smaller. Those are the two that are in our galleries. So these ones are out in the middle of the museum. But we have got the famous artist annual student art exhibition. Kind of a mouthful. But there's a program called the Famous Artist Portfolio Program that we support, and we provide materials to educators who take our training course, and they can go and teach art in the classroom. So it's particularly for schools that don't have an established art program and things like that. Students can still have access to art programs in their classes. So this student art show is the result of those classes. So this is student art that is from K through 8 aged students or grade students, and it's just a wall of art done by kids, and I walked by and looked at it when it first went up and was like, I could not do that. It's done by like a third grader. So it's lovely what they teach, and everything that they learn is based on actual, you know, famous artists, obviously, but hence the name. And this semester, I believe, I don't know if this changes yearly or not, but this section of them are all images that are inspired by the North State. So it's things that they saw outside or things that they have seen around here. And just, it's lovely. And it's how the kids interpret the world.
These
around
little
them.
Kids.
It's crazy.
I was a substitute teacher, and I went over to UPrep in a lot of places, but sixth grade.
Oh, wow.
They were doing things in sixth grade. I'm looking at it and learning about things, pyramids and all this kind of stuff, sixth grade. And I'm thinking, I didn't learn that in sixth grade. I think that was like junior in high school, maybe even a sophomore in college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got these kids doing.
Yeah,
and
it's
I mean,
crazy.
They're just incredible.
Yeah,
and,
actually.
And you get School of the Arts out there. And I mean, you know, Linda said I would have loved to have gone to a school like
too.
This when she was growing up because
yeah.
she had all these things she wanted to do, mm-hmm. but it just was unable really to express herself in those different ways.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible the support for the arts around here.
Isn't that amazing? When you know, Redding's a backward place, and everybody's got missing teeth. I mean, you hear this still from idiots out there. I mean, and they are idiots out there. Oh, there's no culture, really? You believe there's no culture?
Come to Turtle Bay.
Come on.
There's culture.
There's Turtle Bay, but there's other things too. But
yes.
But one of the things is the School of the Arts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many other towns this size have a school like that, or a UPrep that's mm-hmm. That's highly rated, or any of our schools, any of our educational areas here? Mm-hmm. But other things, you know, people fighting against Turtle Bay. Why would you do that? You need you need a museum. You got Cascade Theater. You've got all these things going on.
Mm-hmm. I am right there with you. I completely
agree.
Well,
I know agree. You are. I know.
So
well.
it's great to see that there's a lot of pieces of art too in this show. So it's nice to see how many kids are getting access to this so early on.
Right.
It's just It's lovely.
Okay.
So that one, and then the last one, is another art one, actually, and it actually supports the MAGE program, which is another program that students coming in on field trips, it's part of an art standard that they have to, that we have to have provide for these classes. And so this one is called Mount Shasta, the Artist Muse, and it's my personal favorite in the museum at the moment. It is all pieces of art that are depictions of Mount Shasta, whether it's a painting or a cartographer's schematic or what the right word is, I'm not totally sure on, but it's all pieces of art from our own collection at Turtle Bay, and it was curated in-house by our exhibit assistant Jamie, and it's gorgeous. There's, I believe, 30 different pieces of art that are all Mount Shasta, and it's just
showing any
gorgeous.
Show any Lemurians in there?
I don't know. I just look at the pretty. I didn't actually read anything about that.
Okay, so you could have Lemurians, you know, because Lemurians hang out at Mount Shasta. You know.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do a show called Outside the Wire.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was, we'd have people on from all different types, and we had some Lemurians on one time.
All right.
He was a hybrid Lemurian, though, right? Wasn't he like the, he was like an offspring of a Lemurian, but all talked about how the, you know, the whole mountain's, you know, empty inside.
Yeah.
So that's what, you know, Lemurians live in there.
All right.
I just wonder if you had any photos of Lemurians.
I don't know.
No.
I don't.
But you
don't
have the Mount Shasta on.
Yes.
So what's coming down the line here? I mean, we're here in February, so it's going to start warming up here.
It is. So we will have, obviously, a new exhibition for the summer called Rock University, and it's all about rock music and history of rock and roll, which
I'm
super stoked about.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Rock music. So is it true Kiss is going to open that up?
God, don't get my hopes up, okay? I wish. don't say that, because then I'm going to have to be the one who says no.
Okay. Sorry. So it'll be
not that I know of. How about that?
Okay. So the history of rock.
Yes. So that is
not... That's cool. Where's that coming from?
That is coming from Stage 9 Exhibit Design, which is the same place that did Toytopia and Sweet.
Okay.
And we had one other one from them. But it's going to be big and colorful and loud and interactive. And just, we don't know the exact pieces we're getting yet, but all of the pieces, because our hall's smaller than what the full exhibition could be. But the pieces that are available are all incredible. So that opened middle of May. So after the four that we have right now, we'll be just going to one big one rather than four small ones.
Well, give people a chance to play like an electric guitar.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It will.
There is a PlayStation.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I hope so, because a lot of people have never played.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And may I be one of those ones? I have never played an electric guitar.
Yeah.
I have never. I played air guitars.
Oh, of course.
But that doesn't count. But I've never picked up an electric guitar and played.
Oh, my gosh.
I can see Carl with doing Guitar Hero, which is a video game where you're following on the screen. They give you the fingerings, and the more accurately you follow, the higher your points. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and the riffs like are actually professional, you know, known song riffs, and how well can you follow them?
Wow, cool.
There's a whole cult behind that thing.
A cult? Do we have cults? So,
I mean,
how's the hotel building like crazy now?
Oh man, so it wasn't because it was raining, which was great.
I see Muse Concrete's truck out there, and I know
just
Voice
waiting.
Muse is making him. It's making him crazy every time he goes out and he looks at the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Boyce is not one of those kind that just sit back and twiddle his thumbs.
Right.
I'm sure he's out there's places, you know, he's finding places where there's sunlight.
Yes. So it is nice that there were some projects that would have been later in the schedule, but because it was raining and they couldn't do the big things, there were things they could still work on, which is fantastic. And then we had that break in the rain prior to last week, and they finished... they were digging out the trenches and stuff to put in the plumbing that will go under the building pad and the different things that have to go under there. And then I know they stopped because of the rain last week, and then we actually have a meet. I'm going to a meeting right after this to find out exactly where we are, but I know since we have nicer weather, the next project was actually laying the building pad. And after that, they can go up, which is awesome. So that's the one thing we've been waiting on because the soil was too wet, and you don't want to build on that. No, that would be bad. So hopefully we'll be seeing upward movement soon. And then
I hope we get TV in here because when we do, I'm talking about inside the studio.
Yeah, okay.
Because I want everybody to see Christy Kidd in the morning.
Bouncing off the
walls. Just bouncing off the walls. I mean, you know, right now we have her chained to the to the stool to keep her from floating to the
crazy.
Top here.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you haven't had any coffee yet.
I have not. I have not had coffee yet. I'm going to do that next.
Okay. I want you to get a double espresso and then go say hello to Mike for me and see what he does.
Okay. I think he's too used to be by now. I always have coffee in my hand. He knows. He's just like, okay, calm down. You're done.
Well, you know what? Come think of it. You're done.
I am done.
We're about finished here. You got everything. Except the one last thing is you can join Turtle Bay. Let's join Turtle Bay.
Yep.
It costs?
$80 for a family of two adults and up to four kids.
that you can bring in. Don't have to be your own kids.
That's true.
Everything then is open. It's no special cost for anything.
Unless you want to feed the parrots, it's $1.
And it's $1 to feed that. And I tell you what, it's worth it. What I like to do is I like to pour it on little kids' heads and then watch them get. They get swarmed.
Yep, they
get swarmed after that.
They do.
And parents don't really like it, but you know what? Not my kids. Not my kids, and it's entertaining. That's right. I saw one was picked up and moved.
We don't have that many parents.
Okay, sorry. All right. Christy Kidd, thank you so much, as usual.
Thank you.
For coming in and just brightening it up. And poor Mark Story from CEO of Haven Humane, he goes, I told you, never let me come in after Christy Kidd.
Sorry.
But Kurt Starman started it, and you took that on and just kept going.
You gave me a challenge. I had to.
Hey, there you go. Hey, Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Everybody, head on down to Turbay. So many great things down there right now. We'll be right back after these messages with Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. At the White House this past hour, President Obama gave Congress his plan for closing the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center and his justification.
Keeping this facility open is contrary to our values. It undermines our standing in the world. It is viewed as a stain on our broader record of upholding the highest standards of rule of law.
Not so, says defense analyst Colonel Robert McGinnis, who also says that he disagrees with the president's belief that Guantanamo Bay provides America's enemies with a powerful PR weapon.
Guantanamo is a black eye to the United States used to recruit terrorists around the world. No, that may have been true 10 years ago. No longer is the case.
Congress has repeatedly used legislation to block the shutdown of Guantanamo. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley says that President Obama should let the next president nominate a replacement for the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia.
Grassley defending his position by quoting from a former Judiciary Committee Chairman, Joe Biden.
The Biden rules recognize that under these circumstances, quote, the president should consider following the practice of a majority of his predecessors and not name a nominee until after the November election is completed.
Biden was referring to then-President George H.W. Bush.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. U.S. home prices increased at a solid clip in December, helped along by a healthy job market and low mortgage rates. The Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller 20 City Home Price Index rose 5.7% from a year earlier, the same as the annual increase seen in the month of November. Prices rose 11.4% in Portland, Oregon, 10.3% in San Francisco. In the District of Columbia, it was the lowest annual increase, just 1.7%. On Wall Street right now, the Dow's down 150 points. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a free domain with website from GoDaddy.com, starting at $1 a month. Annual purchase of website builder required. Price valid first year only. See website for details.
The International Organization for Migration says more than 100,000 migrants and refugees have arrived in Europe by sea so far this year.
By the third week in February, 110,000 people had landed in Greece and Italy this year. That compares with less than 12,000 in the first 2 months of last year. Most, over 102,000, came ashore in Greece.
That is the BBC's Imogen Folks. An internet rights group today plans to protest against a government order that Apple must cooperate with helping to figure out exactly what was on the iPhone of one of the people who attacked in San Bernardino, California last year.
This is not
some debate between a lofty theoretical ideal of privacy and our public safety. What the government's trying to do here could deeply undermine our public safety and put millions of people in more danger.
That is Evan Greer with the Internet Rights Group Fight for the Future. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Officials say an island in Fiji actually took a direct hit from a deadly cyclone as the death toll climbed to 29 on Monday as they assessed the damage on that particular island. A Fiji Red Cross spokesman says the number of dead continues to grow.
Death toll is rising due to injuries sustained during the cyclone, and some of those who are injured are finding it difficult to get to areas where they can get treated in the hospitals.
And getting emergency supplies to the far-flung islands and remote communities most affected by the storm is actually turning out to be quite a chore as well. Forecasters have issued flash flood watches in Alabama and Georgia ahead of a storm system that is expected to drop 1 to 2 inches of rain, with higher amounts possible in some areas. Some Alabama school systems are planning to dismiss students early and cancel after-school events. In Texas, a Houston school bus flipped onto its side along a highway during that rainstorm. More on these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Linda's on sabbatical today. It is 5 minutes after 8 here on the 23rd of February. I hope everybody's doing well. We got everybody fired up this morning early. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, Bad Bob.
Well, good morning. I bet you want some weather here, which I'm trying to get to come up on the screen.
If you'd rather,
as
if
I stall.
You know what? I'd like to have it whether you want to or not.
Well, it's whether the computer wants to or not. Nearly the same as yesterday in the forecast. Sun and clouds mixed and a high around 71. Overnight low of about 43. Give or take a few degrees, depending on where you're at. It'll be that way for a couple of days. Friday, we could see some rain, then a dry weekend, and then more rain middle of next week. 49 degrees in Reading right now. Shasta Lake, 74 feet from the top. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Where our customers are warm friends, better-known business, of course, locally owned. And they give senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793. I want to remind everybody about the Wild Ways kickoff. Their Shasta Land Trust invites you to that. Their annual launch of events connecting people and places. This Saturday, February the 27th, local wines and craft brews. Rockin' live music, delicious food by BC Catering, and featuring Prather Ranch beef and a sumptuous dessert bar. That's all going to be out at Mercy Oaks. At 100 Mercy Oaks Drive right here in Reading. Saturday, February the 27th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Yeah, sound like a good time. And even though there are people that are not sure if Shasta Land Trust is good or not, but I think they're okay. What do you think, Bad Bob? I think they're okay. I mean, I see what you're doing.
I would like to know more.
Okay.
But overall, I think that the idea, because I see a lot of pieces of property that I would rather not see paved over and turned into strip malls and tract homes.
I don't know where people come up with it. You know, maybe it's just that I'm just... You know, I don't know if I'm a Pollyanna or I'm just naive, but I didn't see where the government got into this one because that's why they have fundraisers, is to be able to keep themselves going. And I mean, people are saying that, well, they're buying this land, and then somehow the government gets part of it.
Yeah, the presumption being that, oh, well, since they accept grants, they are automatically beholden to the government. Yeah. And I don't quite see it that way.
Okay,
but yeah, what do I know?
Anyway, okay. Couple big things happening today. Bethel Church, they're having a big meeting today at 4 p.m. in the city council chambers, where they're going to go over the environmental standards and all the stuff from for, and people can ask questions about Bethel, and the that's happening. And of course, the other big announcement is Black Bear has gone into partnership with PWP, a growth equity firm, which now is going to allow Black Bear to literally double in size to 155 restaurants nationwide. Great job, Bruce Dean. You know, when you think about when they started up in Mount Shasta, and they got their spending money from the jukebox. And the only way they ate was because they ate at the restaurant. Okay, real quick, Jim, good morning.
Morning. Hey, on these land trusts.
Yeah.
The guys up there at Cedarville, there, a lot of those farmers up there will tell you about the land trust. They came in there with a deal and offered a bunch of stuff, and some of them took it. Now you can't use your land for what you wanted to use it for, and they were told they could. Mm-hmm. And so the land trust things that really take a lot of some of the land out of the tax rolls. And but back in Colorado, up at Fairplay up there, they went through up there, the city of Denver went through up there on a land trust, and they took all the water rights away from the people up there, and now these other people try to buy the farms up because all the old people died off, and they have no water to run their farms up there, run their cattle.
I think it's like anything. You've really got to take a look at what you're going to lose or what you're going to gain by it. If you just want to keep the land in perpetual farmland or ranch land, and this does that, you know, gives you the water rights that you can sell it with all the rights on it. But you're right, you know, there's probably places out there that do these things that you know, that don't do the best for the heirs. Okay, Jim, thanks a lot.
You bet.
You bet. Hey, we're here with Mark Story, CEO, Chief Executive Officer of Haven Humane. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. How are you?
A lot of things going on.
Yeah, a lot of things going on. Today is spay day. Spay day.
Why are you looking at me like that?
At least you didn't say neuter day.
Oh, right. Yeah. Spay day. We're okay
it's
with spay day.
Yeah.
Today is spay day.
Today is spay day. So get your animals spayed or neutered.
Well, that leads us to a big question, man. Which is something going on today.
There is something going on, yes. We have a public meeting today about feral cats.
You know, what? We've been talking kind of, you know, but not specifically about feral cats ever since you've been coming on. Sure. There have been feral cat colonies. But I was surprised when I read the article in the newspaper is that where they used to be hundreds, and you talked about this, and you talked about the things y'all were doing and other people were doing, that number is down to what?
Dozens.
Dozens from hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does it go from hundreds to dozens?
Well, it's a long, drawn-out thing, and we're going to talk about it a lot today at 4 o'clock at the community room, which is right next to the city council room.
Which is going to be crazy at that point, because you're going to have Bethel people and other people that, you know, that's going on.
Yeah, because it'll be at 4 o'clock, so it'll be the same time. But we're going to talk about it, and basically the long and the short of it is trapping and killing the cats is not working, because we're doing it all the time. And the food source is still there, whether it's somebody feeding outside or whether it's a food source that they already have. The food source is there. So when you trap and kill a cat, that food source is still there. And so some cat's going to fill the void. And in many cases, it may be two cats that fill the void, because it may be two kittens that fill that void to take that food source. So, and eliminating the food source is not an option, because that's just not going to happen. I mean, eventually the food source will dwindle when the cats start dwindling and people start seeing that they don't have to feed as many cats. So the answer is to trap, neuter, and release them. So you trap them, you spay, neuter them, you vaccinate them for rabies, you also test them to see if they're ill. And if they are, then obviously you're going to put them down at that point. But you're going to release them out, and then they will continue to eat that food source. But at the same time, if this happens community-wide, then the population starts to go down. It's been very effective in many, many cities throughout the country, San Jose being one that did a 5-year study, and they reduced their intake rate by 30%. They reduced the amount of dead cats that they're picking up on the road by 20%, which is a pretty big decrease. And they reduced their euthanasia rate by 75%, and they also reduced their upper respiratory infection, which is the leading illness that we get with the cats, by 99%. So,
and this is by trapping them, spaying them, and then releasing them.
Correct, the same area. And so they will continue to eat that food source. And what it does is it effectively decreases the chance of rabies. It decreases, obviously, the population, because now they can't reproduce. And
they'll keep other cats out.
Correct. Because they're going to be eating that food source, and there's not going to be something else, another cat that's going to fill the void. The problem is, there are ways to keep the cats out of your yard if you don't want the cats in the yard. There are plenty of ways to do that. There's sprinkler systems that are by movement. There's tons of other ways that they can do it. There's the sound thing. Some of them work. Some of them don't work. Some of them work better than others.
I heard coyote urine.
That's actually one of the ways, yes. There are a lot of ways that you can do it if you don't like keeping the cats in the yard. But the problem is that we've been trying to eradicate, for lack of a better term, the cats for many, many years. And we've done it by trapping them and then, you know, keeping them for 3 days if they're feral cats. And we euthanize them. Well, we've been doing that for years. It's roughly the same numbers. It's not having any effect. I mean, we have to try something differently. If we want to truly lower the number of the cats out there, then we have to do it the right way. And trap, neuter, release is the best answer so far. I'm not saying it's a quick answer, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's the solution that everybody wants, but it is the most humane, and it is actually the best one, and it's the only one that has shown significant reduction in numbers in a safe manner. So, and we'll be talking about it in length today and in depth today.
Okay.
At 4 o'clock. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so one quick question on it.
Yeah.
Is when they have these feeder stations out,
mm-hmm.
and people feeding, does that keep, now the gentleman they were talking to, I guess, who does some trapping of cats and,
he bring, does,
and
yeah.
brings them down to you.
Yeah.
And
well, I'm not sure if he comes to us, but
he has them right. spayed.
Yeah, absolutely, they're all altered.
He has them altered, mm-hmm. whether you know, and he spent $67,000
right.
on this, you know, and I you know, okay,
yeah,
he's probably true because he's been doing this for 8 or 9 years,
right.
Does that help? I mean, him trapping, of course, helps. But when you feed them, does that prevent them from going after, you know? And when we say food sources, we're talking birds here, right? Birds?
No, not necessarily. Actually,
and rodents and stuff.
No, not necessarily. I mean, that can be a food source, but majority of the time, a food source is an outdoor food source when somebody's feeding them. Whether it's colony like this, like we're talking about, or whether it's just somebody feeding outdoor cats. Studies have shown that 1 in 7 households feed outdoor cats. Now, they may not be intentionally doing it. They may be feeding their own cat, but other cats come and eat it. But 1 in 7 households are feeding cats. And so there's a lot of food out there. So, the birds and stuff, that is some. But most of the time, the cats that are doing that, they're not actually – they're hunting to hunt because that they have prey drive. It's not necessarily a food thing. And so
– they like it.
Right. And so, you know, I see both sides of this. I mean, there are two sides to it. And I don't think that anybody really wants to see animals destroyed, whether it's a bird or a rodent or a cat. So – we have to find a humane way to do this, and I agree. We do need to lower the population of community or feral cats, and this is the most humane way to do it, and it works.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mark. Okay, yeah. We're going to take a quick break. It's 17 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, and this portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. Locally owned, locally operated, great, great discounts for veterans there at Bastiani Arms. It's our firearms dealer of choice is at Bastiani Arms. Whether you're looking for a long gun or a pistol, he's got them all. He's got ammunition. He's got all the shooting accessories you could possibly want, and they teach classes on concealed carry and hunter safety, all in one-stop shopping at Bastiani Arms and gunsmithing that are just excellent, excellent guys. They can work on any type of gun, and they can make it, you know, they can work on your triggers, they can work on repairs on your guns. In fact, I have to take my bolt down and have an extractor fixed. I've just been shooting it too much. Anyway, all this at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. Give them a call, 222-8222, open Tuesday through Saturday. We'll be right back after these messages.
Dandelion. Unique Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
The Trade School at Shasta Builders Exchange is hosting a fundraiser called the Electrician's Ball. Join us Friday, March 11th at the Red Lion Hotel and dine on salmon or prime rib prepared by Chef Kim Miller. Enjoy wines from the Mosley Family Cellars and be entertained by Linda Bott Jazz Ensemble. Invest at the Craftsman's Art Auction, a silent auction featuring the handcrafted artistry of local sculptors, painters, and craftsmen.
Tickets are $50 per person. Visit ShastaBE.com/events or call the Shasta Builders Exchange at 221-5556.
How about some traditional Mexican food for Second Tuesday dinner in March, Abby?
I love authentic Mexican food. We must be going to Mazatlan Grill.
That's right. With their welcoming, friendly staff and fiesta-like atmosphere, you can start with tableside guacamole made to your liking and sizzling fajitas and so much more to choose from.
Please join us on Tuesday, March 8th at Mazatlan Grill as they graciously donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane Society to help them care for the stray, abused, and unwanted animals as they look to place them in loving homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
The new year is here, and the guys from Shasta Lake Floors have just got back from visiting flooring manufacturers from around the world, keeping up with the newest technology in floor covering. Several years ago, Shasta Lake Floors introduced Smart Strand Trixa, the most stain-resistant carpet in the industry. This year, we have discovered innovations in hardwood floors with scratch resistance like never before. Having been in the flooring business for over 40 years, we understand the importance of service and product knowledge. You have our word that Shasta Lake Floors will always offer products and service best suited to your needs, whether it be Smart Strand, the bleach-resistant carpet, various Karastan carpets or hardwood and tiles of excellent quality. Shasta Lake Floors offers the best products installed by the area's best trained technicians. Being the only Mohawk Color Center Elite dealer and the largest wholesale flooring dealer, Shasta Lake Floors can guarantee the lowest price on even the most luxurious floor covering. 8-time winner of Best in the North State, Shasta Lake Floors is the place to go for new floors or granite countertops. Financing available. Come see us at 4052 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call 275-8530.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Stop on the mega without bread. Oh, I wanna keep on trying.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, Callbot here. Free Fire Radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and we are streaming live, KCNR1460.com. 47 degrees out there, going up to 72 today. Thank you, Shasta Gas Propane at 365-3793, for bringing us the weather report every day. And Reading Civic Auditorium is bringing you the C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. You know what? This is a wild and crazy play. It really is. Devilishly funny, according to many of the reviews. It's going to be on March 4th, right here at the Civic Auditorium. You can get your tickets, readingcivic.com, or contact their box office, 229-0022, 530-229-0022. C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. Okay, speaking of devilishly funny, we have Mark Story here, CEO of Haven Humane. You know, we bring in Kurt Starman beginning, he just fires everybody up,
right,
talking about Costco and downtown stuff, and then Christy Kidd comes on, and she is just, you know, the bubbly and
I wish we
and
could harness effervescent.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? We could get out of, you know what? We wouldn't have to worry about raising the electric rates if you could harness that energy there. And then now it's your turn, man. You got to, you know, it's here. And then
she sets the bar high. Yeah.
She sets the bar high. But now you're getting ready at 4 o'clock today to host everybody on the Feral Cat issue.
Yeah.
All right, we talked about that. I can't wait to see this because you've got the Bethel group coming, you know, the Bethel Church, and is explaining where they want to expand out so much, and then you've got all those people that, and then you've got the feral cat thing going at the same time next door to each other. Can you just imagine the consternation if somebody gets into the wrong office or the wrong area there, and they've got their signs.
Well, you know. Kim Niemer's putting this cat.
Save the kitties.
Kim Niemer's putting this cat meeting on, and I'm sure that she has a plan for that.
She's got a plan for that.
I'm sure she's got a plan for that.
Okay. Now, today is spay day. We talked about that. New playroom for the cats.
Yeah, so we did a little bit of remodeling, slight remodeling at the Morgan Adoption Center, and we now have a community cat room that will be open in probably about 2 weeks. So this is great. It's actually Sally and Alex are two of our volunteers. They're fantastic volunteers. Sally's on our board as well. And she came in and she made cat cards. And basically she takes the cats that we have, and it's a program on the iPad, and they actually chase like a little mouse on the iPad. And so they actually paint, and she prints those out. And so she has some cards with some stories about each individual cat. So she sold those for a few months, and they sold really well. They were packs of 15 that she had made up. And so that money went to the remodeling cost.
Are they all gone?
We still have some, actually, yeah. We still have a few left.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. It's got a picture of the cat on the back. Yeah, they're really cool cards. And so you can give them out as gift cards or whatever. But
I'm just thinking about that. I mean, so what they do is they think it's like, you know, like any cat or dog that you can tease to death with a little laser designator there.
Yeah,
And every time they put their paw down, it makes like a little pizza pie.
Yeah, they're really neat, and they're all different, and you can kind of pick the color scheme. She picks out a different color scheme for each one, and then they go, and it's really cute. And so that
is
money
this the
raised.
Cat that's named Leonardo that made one that looked kind of like Mona Lisa.
No, okay. That's not all that right. One. And actually, she uses a lot of just the cats that we have there, and so. And majority of them have all been adopted and in forever homes already. A couple we actually have as house cats there at Haven that we've kept. But so this room will house about probably 5 cats, adult cats. It'll be adult cats. And so you can go in there and you can sit down and play with those cats, and they'll have a room to themselves. And we're going to be actually Alex, Sally's husband, and another gentleman are building all the steps and all the stuff for the wall, so that should all be put on hopefully next week sometime, and then we'll probably open up the following week. So we're pretty excited about it.
They're going to have a community cat area with perches and napping places, mm-hmm. and they can hang out and play.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
They got a little 12-inch TV there. They can watch football and baseball this year. No,
we're not going to put a TV in there.
Okay, just wondering. Okay, now, during the month of March...
Yeah, during the month of March, our clinic has extended. We're doing a 10% off dental work for your pets. February was actually dental month, but because we had the Beat the Heat special going on and we were swamped
with
that.
You know what? I don't know who comes up with these.
PetSmart charities.
Okay, we talked. Yeah, we did. We talked about that. But you know what? That is so cool.
Yeah.
Beat the Heat by getting your cat spayed.
Yeah, and it's... We did this last year as well. We did both. We did the Happy New Year last year, and we did the Beat the Heat this year. And we were very successful. Actually, last month in January alone, the clinic spayed and neutered 665 animals already in the first month. So, we're way ahead of last year. We did 5,600 last year total. So we're ahead of that pace already, which is fantastic. So, and that's a big part of what we do. You know, we want to spay and neuter. So spay and neuter. If you have a pet, please make sure they're spayed and neutered, because that's how we that's how we end this homelessness with the animals.
You know, the thing I don't understand, Linda takes Elk Killer up to the Benton Dog Park up there, and they've got the small dog area and the large dog area. But every so often, there'll be people up there that bring their dogs in, you know, not neutered. And you watch that, and you think, I mean, and so I, you know, if I'm up there, I go, you're going to breed, you know, is that a full bred? No, you're going to breed them? Maybe. And I'm thinking, you know what? Your dog's going to breed whether you want it to or not. And now you've got, like Christy was just here, she says she's got a Cocker Spaniel, just a little puppy. It's Cocker Spaniel and something. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, okay, Cocker Spaniel and large Mastiff.
I don't know how many times we have a dog that we return to owner and they say, wow, never gotten out before. Well, is he neutered? Well, no. Well, there was probably a female in heat somewhere. Wow, that's never happened before. Well, it's happened now. It's going to happen again, so it's a good idea to get them spayed and neutered. There's health reasons for it as well, but especially because, you know, we have a lot of homeless pets, and we really need to lower that rate because animals are still needlessly dying throughout the country and in our community here because people can't spay and neuter, and it's just
even though
it's
the
not
rate's
okay.
going down,
the rate is going down, and it's a long battle, but you know we need more people spay and neuter.
Well, you know, the thing about it, you've proven that it works with the feral cats.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, catch and release for dogs, too. I wonder if that would work.
Well, we don't have a lot of feral dogs, so.
Oh, okay.
You know.
But what do you think an owner would say is that, you know, if they have the dog and you just go, fix it, and then you give it back to them?
That would be a tough one. There are some areas, actually, throughout the country that have gone to that, but I don't see us going to that.
Yeah.
So we just try to educate people on it and how important it is.
Do you ever say, hey, we caught your dog, and it's been running around the second time we've caught it. Hey, we'll neuter it for like $25 for you, and that'll stop a lot of this. Do you ever say that?
Sometimes we will try and help out, depending on the circumstances, but it also, every time an animal comes in, the first three times the price gets higher and higher, and that's a statemented penalty. It's $35 unaltered the first time, $50 the second, $100 from then on out. That's just that fee. So that's on top of all of the fees.
Have you picked up dogs several times?
Oh, yeah. Number of them. Yeah, definitely.
And are most of them unaltered?
Most of the ones we pick up more than once are unaltered. Yeah, it's very rare that we have altered dogs that we pick up more than once.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, they don't want to go run and chase like that. I mean, so the ones that we do pick up that are altered are usually folks that don't have a fenced yard or something like that. But it's the vast majority of the animals that come in are unaltered.
Okay. So. All right, here we're Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane, and we're talking about, they've got specials going on. We're talking about altering dogs. You know, the feral cat thing is going today at 4 o'clock at the City Hall in the community room. But there's others, and this was interesting to learn because I've never asked before, is how many you have multiple pickups. And you do, and almost every one of them is unaltered. And those are people that own the dog, and you take them back to them, and they still don't want to have them altered. I find it interesting. Anyway, it's 8:30 in the morning. We'll be right back after these messages. It's the 23rd of February. We're quickly running out of month here.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
It would be ironic to see them singing this now.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott here. It's 27 minutes until the hour of 9 o'clock here on Tuesday, 23rd of February. 47 degrees going up to, well, it's probably 48 now, 48 and a half. It's 48 and a half degrees going up to 72 and a third today. It's a low of 43 and 5/6 tonight, and it's going to be sunny today. And thank you to Shasta Gas Propane at 365-3793 for bringing us the weather reports and discounts for seniors and veterans. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, the place to get your hair cut. I mean it. And, you know, when we're, as long as we're talking about numbers, you can get a 1 or a 1.5 type of clippers, maybe even a 2 when you're getting your hair cut. I have no idea what that means, except I think that means that more hair gets cut off at that point. Oh, you get a 4. Oh, you're getting 4s?
I get a 4 on top, and I think I get a half or a 1 on the sides.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Your hair's pretty short.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, did they do anything about the gray that's in there? I mean,
I used to ask her to take out the gray, but now I...
Then you look kind of bald.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
So
okay.
That stopped a while ago.
Cypress Square Barbershop. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold. And by the way, right down the street from Classy Cafe, and what did Linda and I do yesterday after the show? We trotted on down to Classy Cafe, and they had chip beef on toast.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. And let me tell you, it was just outstanding. I eat it, you know, once a month because I'm working out. But I tell you what, it is just simply outstanding. Classic cafe down there on Athens. Can't beat it. Mark Story's here, CEO of Haven New Maine. You're in the Air Force forever. Well,
yeah.
20 years.
Yeah.
The Marine Corps and the Navy had, you know, the old SOS.
Yeah,
you know,
same.
And so did you all have the same? It hamburger or was it chip beef?
Ooh.
And the reason I ask is because for the Marines, it was mainly it was hamburger, and I thought the Air Force and that the Army and the Navy had the chip beef. I mean, but I'm not sure. Do you remember?
I think it was hamburger too. Yeah.
I think it was hamburger.
I think so. Yeah,
I think the reason for the tinned beef was that was able to be long term storage. You know, tinned chipped beef that
salt,
you know, had a shell. Yeah, yeah, lots of salt put in a can and left there for a couple of years.
Yeah, you can still buy that, by the way.
Oh yeah,
on the what's it called though? It's not called chipped. It's called something, isn't it?
The generic term is tinned beef, but it's sold under a number of...
Yeah, but it's Hormel's got it in little jars.
It's next to the Spam.
I love that stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of Spam, do you know you can buy Spam sandwiches and stuff in Hawaii at McDonald's?
Yeah, I don't love that stuff.
You don't
Spam
love
is its own food group in Hawaii.
Yeah, I tell you what, no, you know what, people laugh, but Spam, people love Spam in Hawaii.
They do.
Yeah, they do. I mean, you can buy it at McDonald's. Yeah, I mean, come on, little Spam specials. All right, let's move on. First Tuesday Club.
Second Tuesday Club.
Well, the First Tuesday Club is now going to be on the second Tuesday.
Right.
It's going to be Mazatlan.
Mazatlan Grill, yeah.
You know what? They also have 100 different types of tequilas there.
That's good.
Mazatlan. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Go down there and have a couple of shots of tequila, and then go on in and have a great dinner, and part of the proceeds will go to you.
That's correct, and that'll be Tuesday, March 8th. And so that's a great night. We did that last year, too, at Mazatlan. It was fantastic. Had a great time. They have great
Do you ever
food.
Have any problem finding places?
No.
I mean, people probably line up to help you, right?
They do. This community is so supportive, and it's great. And so we did change it up a little bit this year. So we're excited about the restaurants that we have this year. And, we're going to have a lot of fun.
You got a different ad running, too.
We do, yeah, a little bit different ad. In fact, I need to go write the other ones, so Diane and I are writing them now, and so it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy doing those. They're a lot of fun, and
we enjoy
doing the restaurants. Oh, absolutely.
Are you there the whole time? Or
no, I just go and eat. And, you know, it's it's the same that I encourage other people. It is. It has become the night once a month where we get together, where Tina and I get together with about three couples, three other couples that are friends of ours, and so that's our one night a month where we all get together, and it's kind of an excuse to get together, and we all do it, and it's a lot of fun. We really enjoy it. So,
okay, all right, it is a lot of fun. I've had a great time there on these. Now, during the month of March, you're doing dental work for pets and save money on that.
Yep, we talked about that, 10% discount on that, on any dental work. You can contact the clinic. It's 241-1658 and schedule that.
Okay.
And that's for qualifying clients, of course.
Okay. Volunteers. You all run on volunteers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You got the best bunch of volunteers, too.
I agree with that.
I mean, I've
completely
gotten to know some of them when we've been out there. They're pretty cool. I mean, they've got this special love for animals. They can go out there and the animals need it, especially the dogs.
They do. Well, yeah, and the cats do too. The cats need the socializing too. It's just the dogs. I think that they show they need it a little bit more. And in fact, yesterday I went out. We have a play group thing that they do on Mondays and Thursdays now, where they bring out anywhere from two to I think seven is the record they've had so far into the yard together and let them play. And I always try and go out there on Mondays when my schedule allows, and yesterday it allowed, so I was out there for over an hour with them, and we had four dogs out there, and we cycled through a couple of different ones. But it's so much fun watching the dogs interact, and we had to keep them from getting too excited with each other a couple times, but it's fun, and the dogs really really enjoy the socialization, and the volunteers do a great job. And it's tough because there's a lot of rules when you do play group. You're not supposed to really bend down. You're not supposed to bend down at all. You're not supposed to really pet them. It's about the dogs interacting with dogs, not the dogs interacting with people for the play groups, which is great, and it's good for the volunteers. So our volunteer orientation, we have one this Friday at 5:15 at Haven, and then we have another one on Saturday, March 5th, and that'll be at 10 a.m. Again, it's at Haven in our classroom. And then the following one will be Friday, March 25th at 5:15 p.m.
Cool. All right. Since I started on spam, now the chat room's going on spam here. Spam and fried rice. That's it's Hawaii. Spam and fried rice on that.
For breakfast.
Yeah. Spam is just, what is it? It's ham and other little pieces of meat that they put.
That's just processed.
They process it together.
Yeah.
You know, it's like $5 a can for spam. It seems like an awful lot of money for spam. But, I thought it was just parts. Dog licensing.
There's no way to transition out of that, by the way.
No. The next licensing clinic is March 1st.
Yes, the next licensing clinic will be March 1st.
I'm sorry, but it is. It's just parts. Isn't it the thing, things that are left over, like cow cheeks?
Yeah, you're right.
And hog jowls?
I believe that to be the case.
I believe it is, but it doesn't mean it's not good for you. Have you ever eaten cheek meat?
So the next licensing clinic will be March 1st from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Cottonwood Fire Hall. Dr. Nicole Carraway is going to help us out with that. She's going to be the vet on duty. We appreciate her doing that. Microchips will be discounted at $20 when you purchase a dog license. And then cats are not required a license, but cats are welcome to come get their rabies shots, and as well as a microchip again for $20. So cats must be in carriers, though.
So you don't understand how I save some of these things just for you, for your show.
No, I do.
I have to save it for a month sometimes. It wasn't easy bringing spam up, but I've been thinking about spam for several days.
How do I work spam into
I actually have an answer here.
Okay. All right.
While there are a lot of myths about what is in spam, the correct answer is that it is pork shoulder and ham, salt, water, potato starch, sugar, sodium nitrate, period.
It's that sodium nitrate.
During the cooking is what makes the gelatinous material that forms.
Oh, around it.
Yeah. But that's all there is.
The term of gelatinous material just kind of, you haven't lived till you've scraped that gelatinous material off things.
Yeah. But that's the only six ingredients they are, and the pork is already cooked before it goes into the can. So there's your answer.
And tomorrow morning, folks, Bob's going to talk about hot dogs.
Carl's the hot dog expert.
Oh, man. Don't get me started there. All right. A lot of things going on here.
Yeah.
That we've got. I tell you what, let me take a quick break, okay, and then we can just finish up here.
Yeah.
And because we've got a lot of stuff coming on the Love Your Pet Expo, Doggy Dashes, all types of things happening here. I'm with Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane. We're having the, you know what? Here's what I like. Mark's a great friend. And I can talk about things, but Mark, you know, Mark is so focused that when I can throw things in there, I just like to watch his eyes, you know, when I start talking like spam. You know, he's looking down at his notes going, I didn't see spam in there. Where's spam? Did I write spam? We'll be right back. Carl Lindebot, KCNR 1468. Tomorrow we're going to have Brian Dalian here. We'll ask him about spam, see what's going on there. You know, our assemblyman. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
Charlie Brown, Snoopy, and the whole Peanuts gang are coming to Turtle Bay. Starting February 5th, Peanuts Naturally will bring Peanuts comic strips, videos, and objects and interactive stations to Turtle Bay. Learn how Charles Schulz explored the natural world through the Peanuts and see what kind of misadventures the gang gets into. Presented by Record Searchlight and Dennis and Cheryl Bambauer and organized by the Charles M. Schulz Museum. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, I'm John Scape, owner of Properties by Merit. We specialize both in residential and commercial real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, call us today at 338-2112. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Visit our website at pbmerit.com or call today, 338-2112.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom.
Welcome back to Pre-Fire Radio.
I'm Mr. Lamar.
Take your protein pills and put your
14 minutes until 9 o'clock. We're talking about the Air Force here. You know, put ground control to senior
space
airman,
oddities.
Senior Chief Airman Story, or whatever y'all are up there.
Wow. Senior Chief Airman. That's a new rank.
Well, you know what?
All the stripes are upside down and on your knee.
Yeah, tell me what that is. I mean, I have no idea. I could never tell. I could kind of tell your ranks, kind of. You know, I could tell your officer ranks easier because same thing with the Navy. Navy would have all these weird, you know, symbols all over them on their ranks. So Like, you tell usually the senior chiefs because they had really a bad attitude.
I can never get the Navy ones because part of their rank had to deal with their job.
Yeah.
And that was the part that screwed me up all the time on that.
That was Chief Torpedo Man.
Really?
Yes.
You can tell by the way they salute, too.
No,
you know, because their hands are kind of, we call them the beer can salute, kind of like this, you know? I mean, it's cool. I mean,
the coffee finger.
Coffee finger salute. That's great, you know? Hey, I'm here with Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane. So far, we've talked about spam and other things, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all these other things going on. The big thing, though, today, if you want to get in on the discussion for the feral cats, what's happening with the feral cats? And let's just say this has been a success story.
Absolutely.
Since you've been here, what they've been doing, they haven't been killing them. They've been, you know, because it just doesn't work to trap them and euthanize them. That doesn't work. So what they've been doing is trapping them and
they're altering them and then altering
them,
release them back.
Turn them right back in the same area.
And they're controlling the colonies. And I want to say that this isn't since I've been here. These folks that have been doing these colonies have been doing this on their own and doing a great job. We had a meeting about a year and a half ago, and we discussed it. And you know what? I was very pleasantly surprised. They are doing just about everything right, and a couple of things that they could improve on, they did improve on, and we made some suggestions, and they're doing great. So they're doing this out of the goodness of their heart, and they're doing a fantastic job, so I want to definitely thank them for that. And they're like us. You know, they don't want to see cats needlessly die, and they don't want to see the population grow. So they're doing exactly what they need to be doing, the majority of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to do the right thing. Okay, we got a lot of things coming up.
We do. Yeah, so our 2016 is going to be a busy year, which is fantastic. So it's going to start out with the Love Your Pet Expo with our Super Adoption event, our North State Super Adoption event. That's going to be April 30th at the fairgrounds down in Anderson. And then we will be at Paws for Paws again at Simpson College.
Okay, now, I mean, now this is going to be a lot of people on here, Super Adoption event. Yeah, you're going to have a lot of things going on down there. How many, is it just you all?
No. We've invited every rescue in the area from Chico all the way on up. And so,
Oregon or just?
No, we haven't invited folks from Oregon yet, but if I don't get replies from more people, then I might ask Medford if they want to come down.
Yeah, because they've got a big program up there.
They
exchange animals,
yeah,
don't
they take
you?
A lot of animals from us up there and get them adopted. They've been a huge partner for us, Southern Oregon Humane Society has been, and they're fantastic. So I'm hoping that we can fill this with local rescues. I'm waiting for all the replies. I sent out an email about 3 weeks ago for them. And last year we had, I think, 6 organizations there. I'm looking hopefully to get about 10 organizations there this year if we can do that and get more animals. So they'll all be there. They'll all be ready to go. They'll all be spayed and neutered. They'll be microchipped. They'll be ready for adoption that day. A lot of them will be at discounted rates. For Haven, we'll be doing $75 adoptions for dogs and $50 adoptions for cats. We will have some cats out there as well. And then that works in conjunction with the Love Your Pet Expo, which has a lot of great events going on as well. So there's demos, there's vendor booths, there's all kinds of stuff. And so mixing these two together has made a fantastic event. We're looking to grow it even larger. So the expo has been around now for quite a few years. And we were at Haas last year, and we're moving it back to the fairgrounds this year. And this will be the second year for our North State Super Adoption event, which we're hoping will become something that people look forward to every year.
Great. Okay. Pause for Pause?
Yeah, Pause for Pause. We did this in December for Simpson College, and we did it during finals week. We did 2 days, where we went and we were there for, I think it was 4 hours. I think we were there from 10 to 2.
That's what, and you're going to 10 to 2 this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, 10 to 2, and the kids absolutely loved it. We brought 3 dogs. And they were all adoptable dogs from Haven.
So while they're doing, so everybody's stressed out because of finals, and you brought the dogs, and they're out there petting the dog, making them feel better. Did you adopt them?
You know, all of them have been adopted since. Actually, no, that's not true. Maddie's still there. One of them is still there, but they didn't get adopted by them. Most of the kids live in the dorms and stuff. So, and all of them wanted to adopt them, but unfortunately, none of them could.
Of course, they do.
But that wasn't the point. The point was to let them de-stress a little, let the dogs have a field trip, and it was great. We had volunteers out there and then a few staff members out there, and it was a lot of fun. So we're really looking forward to it. And we had kids that came both days, and it was great. The students really, really enjoyed it.
Wouldn't it be fun just to have a little spot right out here in the atrium area here, your walkway through, and just have a Haven Humane de-stressor. Let people come by and pet a dog, you know.
Yeah, they love it. It was fantastic.
Okay. All right. Boot Scootin' Booty.
Well, we've got our dog-a-thon and our Boot Scootin' Doggies concert, and that's going to be May 14th. So our dog-a-thon is going to be 1 to 5, and that's where we have demos, The West Munster Dog Show. We have a whole bunch of stuff scheduled. We have a bunch of vendors scheduled. The development department under Diane's leadership is doing a fantastic job, and this is going to be just a great event. Really looking forward to it. That goes 1 to 5, and that transforms basically the whole place to a big open house and a big carnival atmosphere. And then at 5 o'clock, from 5 to 8, we're going to have our Boot Scootin' Doggies concert and barbecue. And once again, we're fortunate enough to have Chad Bushnell coming and singing. And if you haven't heard Chad, I'm telling you, you're missing out. He is a fantastic performer, a great singer, a great songwriter, and just an awesome performer. He's just so much fun to watch. So he's going to be performing, so we transform our pasture into a concert. And we're going to do that, and we're going to have some great food. Tickets on that will be available March 1st, I believe, is when we're putting
he
tickets.
He is great. So. You know what? He is good. And the fact that he's out there helping on this is really great.
And then the following day, we're going to have our 5K and 10K Doggy Dash, and that's going to be at Turtle Bay this year, which we're really excited for. And we added a 10K. Last year we did our first one with the 5K. The great thing about this is you can run with your dogs, and we encourage you to bring your dog and run. So we had about 50 entrants last year, and we're hoping we get more, and that registration, I believe, starts March 1st as well.
Yeah, we'll kind of push that one out there. Okay.
And then it's not on here, but June 10th, we are going to have our Bark at the Park with the Colt 45s. So that's going to be Friday,
June
10th. Just
had Rick Bassetti in here?
Yeah.
And Bark at the Park on June 10th.
June 10th. We're really looking forward to it. I love going out to the Colt 45s games. What a great program. What a great field to go see a ball game. And so we're really excited about that again. And we'll have the rig, and we'll have at least a dog or two out there for sure. So Rick actually asked if we could bring a dog. So
of course.
We'll have at least one. I brought my little Jasper last year, so we'll see.
Maybe you can get one that just is crazy about balls. And then, you know, when they're hitting the ball or something like that, can run out there, steal the ball, run off the field, have a great story for later.
Do you think this stuff through before you say it? Or?
Yeah, always. No, in fact, it's written down here, right here. We're going to talk baseball.
You know what's funny is I brought my little dog Jasper, real quick. I'll say this. I brought my little dog Jasper. He's a little dachshund mix. He's the only male that I've got out of my 6 months. And he's just the funniest little guy. And so we brought him out. We were going to go out and do the first pitch. Daniel, my controller, was going to throw the first pitch. Our controller, Daniel, was going to. And so I went out there with him. And boy, the players were like, hey, can I bring Jasper out on the field when we go out for the field for the National Anthem? I'm like, yeah, if you want to, you want to. He's, oh, yeah. And the players just absolutely ate it up. And he went out there, and he was just as happy as could be and just had a ball running around with them and everything else. So he actually got on the field a little bit with the players, and they just had a great time with them. It was really funny. So, yeah, they enjoy it. The players really enjoy it.
These are good kids.
It's a great time.
These are
good kids. They're fantastic
These
guys.
Kids are great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a great program.
The big thing that we look at, though, is that Bark, Wine, and Brew.
Yeah, Bark, Wine, and Brew are...
which we manage to sell out every time.
Yes. Our gala event is going to be October 1st. Again, it's going to be at Wind River Resort and Casino at the Event Center. We're very excited about it again. This year, Diane and her team are going to have a whole year to plan for this, and they're already knee-deep in planning for this. So this is going to be the best one yet, and I'm really looking forward to it. I know it's going to be a great event. She's got a lot of great ideas for it, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I got to figure out what I'm going to do as far as a video or something like that, because I keep raising the bar every year, and I don't know, I'm getting a little nervous. Maybe I need to call Christy Kidd up and see if she's got any good ideas.
I bet she does. She's it's another one of those people that you just love to be around. We've got like 4 minutes left mm-hmm. here, and big things that we've talked about all the things that are happening there, but your everyday occurrences, people coming in, you're adopting out of animals, all of this to volunteers and the people that work there. What are your hours out there?
Oh, good question. So,
I drive by sometimes and the gates are closed, so I'm not sure what that means, but I see all the cars.
The gates are only closed on Sundays.
Okay.
Our normal shelter hours are 8:30 to 5 Monday through Saturday, but that's for licensing and looking for strays and bringing in strays, that kind of stuff. Our adoption hours are from 11 to 5 Monday through Saturday. That way they can get the cleaned and get the building all ready to go. So, yeah, 11 to 5 Monday through Saturday. So the only day we're closed is Sundays. We also have a kiosk in PetSmart that has usually 2 to 3 dogs and about 5 cats that are available for adoption, ready to go home. And that's at PetSmart on Hilltop. And that is Wednesday through Sunday. And I believe they're there from 11 till 3:30.
I've seen Haven Humane out there before.
Yeah, so we have the kiosk against the wall, which is great. And we are always, when it comes to emergencies or anything like that, you can always call us and it goes through our answering service.
Pick up something or you got to,
We have a animal control officer as well as a rescue person that are on call 24/7, 365. So if there's injured animals, if there's an emergency, then we're available to respond in the city limits for those kind of things as well.
Starting to warm up again.
It's starting to warm up again. Make sure you don't leave your animals in cars because it's starting to get hot. It gets hot really quick. If it's 80 degrees out, it can get over 100 degrees in the car in a matter of minutes.
And it's going to be 73 or 4 today. That means it'll get up to a 90.
Yep. So we're getting close. So start thinking about that. And definitely don't leave your animals in the car. I know you want to take them with you, but you know it's not worth them getting injured.
I saw a photo of this dog in the car, and it had a sign on it that says, don't get worried, the air conditioning is on, and I'm playing the Grateful Dead for him, which he loves. So, you know, I thought that was kind of cute. So,
and
would that work? I mean, if you leave your car and the air conditioner's on, you're okay, right? If you wanted to do that.
Yeah, if you did that, I don't know that I'd recommend it. But
yeah, I wouldn't either. But I thought
for other reasons, the dog would be fine.
Yeah, dog's fine.
But if you do see that, definitely call our animal control at 241-2550. And again, I want to just throw this out there because we're talking about the hours and stuff. But if you have questions, definitely call us, 241-1653. That's our adoption. Counselors are always available. Look us up on Facebook. We've got tons of information on Facebook. Our Facebook is really doing great. We're almost to 7,000 likes, which is fantastic, and we get a lot of information on that. And we also revamped our website, came out a month ago, so we have a brand-new website, which is a lot more user-friendly, both mobile and on the PC. So, yeah.
Okay. Mark Storr. Mark Storr, CEO of Haven Humane, and as usual, once a month comes in there and just fills us full of great information. And remember today, going down to the big discussion at 4 p.m. in the community room about feral cats, and also tonight, Kyle DeFore's sports show. If you haven't heard it, please tune in. This guy is so good. He has got an encyclopedia for a mind. When he comes out, and he always has great, great, great subjects he's talking about. Tomorrow, Brian Daly, Assemblyman Brian Daly will be with us. Remember, it's good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my
KCNR Shasta ready.
Won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Linda Kenya. President Obama is proposing to once and for all close the detention center at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
15 years after 9/11, 15 years after the worst terrorist attack in American history, we're still having to defend the existence of a facility and a process where not a single verdict has been reached in those attacks.
The proposal is part of the president's last effort to make good on his unfulfilled 2008 campaign vow to close Guantanamo and persuade lawmakers to allow the Defense Department to move nearly 60 detainees to the U.S. Military affairs analyst Robert McGinnis says the president has left too many questions unanswered when it concerns the detainees.
Are we going to keep them in fear in places like Syria or Iraq, or are we going to put them in a surge location like Guantanamo? Or we're going to bring him back here to the United States.
McGinnis is retired Army lieutenant.